Good morning, everybody. I hope you are doing well. It's been a couple weeks since I've last uploaded to the podcast, and this will actually be the first time that I upload a pre-recorded copy, at least the first time in about 76 episodes. So the last 76 episodes, I was reading the Pilgrim's Progress live and streaming that to my Facebook and YouTube channels, and then taking the audio version of that and then uploading that to my podcast platform. But now, this will be the first time that I'm actually pre-recording this and then uploading it directly to the podcast platform, and I will not be sharing this on YouTube or Facebook. The biggest difference, or the biggest reason why you may still follow me on Facebook or Instagram, is because I am trying to share as much as I can of my journey, not just spiritually, but also on three other fronts. Excuse me. And that is, so the four fronts total are spiritual, and then the other three are mental, social, and then physical. And it comes from two places, really. An inspiration from a book called I Dare You by William Danforth. And then he brings that approach from the verse in scripture that speaks about Christ and him growing in wisdom and stature and then in favor with God and man. So wisdom being that mental side, stature being the physical, favor with God, I mean favor with man, obviously the social, and then favor with God, the spiritual. And this podcast is an opportunity for me to share the spiritual journey that I'm on. And really, it's the most important. Without a strong spiritual base, the other three fronts of growth, if you will, really are inconsequential, or they lose relevancy. And there's no point in being smart, strong, with a good personality, and have no spiritual relationship with God. It's possible, but again, it's kind of pointless at that point. So we want to make sure we have, and I want to make sure I have specifically a strong spiritual basis, but at the same time, I'm realizing, as William Danforth puts forth in his book, at least clearly for me, and that is that really true growth in a person's life is experienced when you develop consistently on all four fronts. And it's necessary that you not just develop one side at a time or two at a time. It's possible and it happens, but the most success in general is found when all four fronts are developed. So if you want to learn more about that, again, I'm sharing a little bit currently, but I plan on sharing more and more specifically with those four things in mind to my Facebook page and Instagram page, and then eventually to the website. Right now, if you go to the website, it's just links, but that is in the description below, so you can find my social media pages there. If not, and that doesn't interest you, that's fine. We're going to jump into the second part of the Pilgrim's Progress. Now, I have not ever read the second part of the Pilgrim's Progress. I had read the first part before, and the last 76 episodes were me kind of rereading, but with a different emphasis. The second part is unique in that I've never read this at all. I've heard about it, but I've never read it, and I'm really looking forward to reading it and just seeing where it takes us. So just like the first part of the book, it begins with an introduction from the author. And so we'll go ahead and read that and probably just get through even just a portion of that introduction. He addresses some of the objections, just like he did again at the beginning of the first part, where he's saying, hey, if you have objections to maybe the first part or the second part of how I am explaining, my allegory here, please take these things into consideration. And I've found those things that he's brought up to be very helpful, because the objections that were brought up then are the same objections that come up in my mind as I read. And so we'll get through a few of those today and then pick up tomorrow. And if you have any feedback for me, before I get too far into this, if you have any feedback for me, please let me know. There is a little contact form on the website. Love to hear from you there if you'd like to join in. and provide, you know, I'm always looking for someone to discuss what I'm learning with. So if you'd like to jump in and read along, provide some, like I said, some feedback, some live feedback during a podcast, I'd love to for that to happen. So just let me know. So here we are. The second part starts with the title, The Author's Way of Sending Forth His Second Part of the Pilgrim. He says, "Go now, my little book, to every place where my first pilgrim has but shown his face. Call at their door. If any say, 'Who's there?' then answer thou, 'Christiana is here.' If they bid thee come in, then enter thou with all thy boys, and then as thou knowest how, tell who they are, also from whence they came. Perhaps they'll know them by their looks or name. But if they should not ask, ask them yet again. If formerly they did not entertain one Christian, a pilgrim, if they say they did and were delighted in this way, then let them know that these related were unto him, yea, his wife and children are. Tell them that they have left their house and home, are turned pilgrims, seek a world to come, that they have met with hardships in the way, that they do meet with troubles night and day, that they have trod on serpents, fought with devils, have also overcome a many evils. Yea, tell them also of the next who have of love to pilgrimage been stout and brave, defenders of that way, and how they still refuse this world to do their father's will." Before I continue, I'd like to, the way he introduces this, he's basically saying, if you've met Pilgrim, he's talking to his book here, but he's saying, if you meet somebody who has met Pilgrim before, then introduce yourself as Christiana, which is the second part of the book, is introducing you to the pilgrim's wife and children. So as you can see here, as he's writing in a poetic manner, very beautifully. He says, "Go and tell them also of those dainty things that pilgrimage unto the pilgrim brings. Let them acquainted be to how they are beloved of their king under his care. What goodly mansions for them he provides, though they meet with rough winds and swelling tides. How brave a calm that they will enjoy at last, who to their Lord and by his ways hold fast. Perhaps with heart and hand they will embrace thee as they did my firstling, and will grace thee and thy fellows with such cheer and fare as show will they of pilgrims lovers are. The poetic, what's that word here? The flow isn't necessarily easy to follow sometimes. But I hope that made sense to me. I hope it did to you. I know if you haven't listened to it before, I try to stop whenever I'm either don't understand, or maybe I do understand, it's just making sense, and try to just verbalize what I'm going through mentally. Also, if there's any notes or scripture references, I like to stop and read through those. And this is not just reading an audiobook. So if you haven't picked it up yet, let's see here. So there's the first objection that he gives, or that he addresses. He says, "But how, if they will not believe of me, that I am truly thine? 'Cause some there be that counterfeit the pilgrim and his name, seek by disguise to seem the very same, and by means have wrought themselves into the hands and houses of I know not who." So the objection is, how will they know that this is from the same person and that it's not a counterfeit? Apparently there was many counterfeits even as he wrote this, and there's probably a lot of counterfeits out there even now. I know for me, when I was trying to find a good copy of the book, there are so many edited versions, and I've been at friends' houses where they had a copy and I picked it up and I'm like, wow, there's some stuff here that's missing that I've seen in a few other copies. So I actually have two copies that I always reference for that very reason. The copy that I'm reading now is an old photocopy version, but I have an even older version that actually includes some Bible verse, some verse references that this one does not include. And that's just the actual reference. It'll make the quote in the text, but it won't reference the actual verse, which if you know scripture very well, then you might know. But I enjoy being able to know exactly where that quote came from or where that thought came from, if there is one that corresponds with scripture. So he says the answer. He says, 'Tis true, some have of late to counterfeit my pilgrim, to their own my title set. Yea, others half my name, and title too, have stitched to their books to make them do. But yet they, by their features, do declare themselves not to be mine. Whose heir they are, if such thou meet'st with them, thine only way before them all is to say out thy say in thine own native language, which no man useth, nor with ease dissemble can. If after all they still of you shall doubt, thinking that you, like gypsies, go about in naughty wise the country to defile, or that you seek good people to beguile with things unwarrantable, send for me, and I will testify you pilgrim be. Yea, I will testify that you only you my pilgrims are, and that on, and that alone will do. Objection 2. He says, but yet perhaps I may inquire for him of those that wish him damned life and limb. What shall I do when I at such a door for pilgrims ask, and they shall rage the more? I need to read that again. But yet perhaps I may inquire for him of those that wish him damned life and limb. What shall I do when I at such a door for pilgrims ask, and they shall rage the more? See, this is when having a second person on the podcast would help break down some of the more antiquated ways of presenting an idea. I believe he's just saying if someone's reading this who didn't agree with the outcome of Pilgrim, but I'm assuming if I'm wrong, let's read his answer and see what he says. He's speaking to his book. I guess this is the objection. He's personified his actual book here. So the book is asking, but yet perhaps I may inquire for him of those that wish him damned life and limb. What shall I do when I at such a door for pilgrims ask, and they shall rage the more? He says, fright not thyself, my book, for such bugbears are nothing else but ground for groundless fears. My pilgrim's book has traveled sea and land, yet could I never come to understand that it was slighted or turned out of door by any kingdom, were they rich or poor. In France and Flanders, where men kill each other, my pilgrim is esteemed a friend, a brother. In Holland, too, 'tis said, as I am told, my pilgrim is with some worth more than gold. Highlanders and wild Irish can agree, my pilgrim shall familiar with them be. 'Tis in New England, under such advance, receives there so much loving countenance as to be trimmed, new clothed, and decked with gems, that it might show its features and its limbs. Yet more, so comely doth my pilgrim walk, that of him thousands daily sing and talk. If you draw nearer home, it will appear my pilgrim knows no ground of shame or fear. City and country will him entertain with welcome, pilgrim. Yea, they can't refrain from smiling if my pilgrim be but by, or show his company in, or show his head in any company. Brave gallants do my pilgrim hug and love, esteem it much, yea, value it above things of greater bulk. Yea, with delight, say my lark's leg is better than a kite. Young ladies and young gentlewomen, too, do no small kindness to my pilgrim show. Their cabinets, their bosom, and their hearts my pilgrim has, 'cause he to them imparts his pretty riddles in such wholesome strains as yield them profit double to their pains of reading. Yea, I think I may be bold to say some prize them far above their gold. The very children that do walk the street, if they do but my holy pilgrim meet, salute him will wish him well, and say he is the only stripling of the day, that they have never seen him. They that have never seen him yet admire what they have heard of him, and much desire to have his company, and hear him tell those pilgrim stories which he knows so well. Yea, some who did not love him at the first, but called him fool and naughty, say they must, now they have seen and heard him, commend, and to those whom they love they do him send. Wherefore, my second part, thou needest not be afraid to show thy head. None can hurt thee that wish but well to him that went before. 'Cause thou comest after with a second store of things as good, as rich and profitable, for young, for old, for staggering, or for stable. I don't think he's bragging here. the truth is that he's explaining, if it's in his unique way here to his second part of his book, that the first part of his book has done very well, and there's nowhere that he can think of, at least in his region, that the book's effect hadn't been felt, and that the pilgrim wasn't a character who was a stranger to anyone at this point. And I'd find that even true to this day, as maybe not in the secular world, but so many people that I've spoken to this day, this book and the pilgrim himself, and if you will, have such a huge effect, and such a huge, I guess, testimony, even if you will, of just helpfulness and encouragement, helpfulness and just understanding. I love how he puts it here, that to the ladies and women here, that the pretty riddles, as he calls them in his story, make so much sense of what you read in Scripture, and it just bears witness that this is what is true. It's not that it's telling you anything different, but you know, I listen to Scripture on the way to work, and I listen to a lot. It's a 45-minute drive for me, and I know there's tons of things that I listen to that I go, huh, I couldn't tell you right away that I understand what I'm reading, and nor do I expect to understand everything that I listen to, but there's no doubt that there's more today that I understand and comprehend when it comes to Scripture, specifically as it relates to the gospel. I could have told you before that I understood, but it didn't uplift the gospel, and it wasn't even related to the gospel at all. But now, today, having read through the Pilgrim's Progress, and I hope to read it many more times through in my life, I know that there's so much Scripture that is brought to light and made easier to understand because of the way it is explained in the Pilgrim's story, in the Pilgrim's Progress. What time is it? We're about 17 minutes. I'd like to keep most of these around 20 minutes. I know I've had people say if I do just an audio version to make them an hour long. If that's something you prefer, please let me know. I can do an hour. That's not a problem at all. But with that, I want to go ahead and call this, just because it's been a little less organized podcast, because I wanted to preface jumping into this with making sure we were on the same page and things. But tomorrow I'm going to pick back up. His book makes, let's see here, three, four, so two more objections, total of four objections of what it might run into. But I hope those first two made sense. I know they were encouraging to me. It makes me really look forward to reading the second part. He says it's as good, as profitable as the first. And so I believe that it will be. So I'm looking forward to that. And if you have, like I said, if you have any feedback for me at this point, I'd love to hear from you. If you listen and this is encouraging, or maybe it says it's something totally not related to what I'm reading, but maybe how you're listening, like, hey, the audio isn't great, or could you speak slower, faster, clearer, could you add some music, or any type of feedback like that, I'd love to hear that, and I'd appreciate it. So on that note, I will go ahead and end the podcast there. I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and Lord willing, I'll be recording these once a day. But we'll see. That's still up in the air. I might, if I do a longer format, then I might do these like twice a week, even down to once a week. I've noticed that when I upload once a week, for whatever reason, the podcast at least gets way more downloads and listens. So that might be something that I do. And it's easier to digest. I'm not sure why that is, but I'll probably be doing some experimentation. So you won't see that consistency may be up front, but for now, my plan is to just do these shorter 20-minute podcasts every day as I go through the book. And then, like I said, if you'd like to have longer, if an hour a day, I could devote well, I don't know about an hour, but probably 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes a day to this, because that's what I'm doing anyways as I'm reading. So I just do it out loud. All right. Well, to end this podcast for, like, I think the second or third time, go ahead and end this. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. God bless. Take care. See you in the next one.